They might on these earthquake faults or something.
Mm-hmm.
When the bombs hit the Los Angeles basin and shake the San Andreas loose, I don't know how far it will go, but I've seen Los Angeles a lake. So San Fernando Valley, Los Angeles, I saw the hills of Santa Monica standing up there like an island in the lake. So all that's going to be ocean someday. I don't know exactly when, whether it be a half an hour after things hit that the bombs will shake loose, or whether it'll be 2 days. But L.A. will be a basin, because it's only 200-400 feet above sea level right now.
Yeah. How about San Francisco? Anything in your information?
The whole San Francisco Peninsula, San Mateo, San Rafael, San Jose, down as far as Salinas, will be annihilated. It'll be wiped clean. Over at Oakland, 80 miles east to Sacramento, Stockton, Merced, wiped clean. Nobody.
How about the Mississippi River and what's going on there right now in the New Madrid Fault? Anything?
The New Madrid, I don't know. I would imagine, I have had no vision to tell me, but I would imagine that's very possible, because they say that that's a big fault that goes from Ohio clear down to New Orleans, and that when it shakes, it'll really tear things up. And I would imagine that literally thousands of 1 megaton nuclear warheads. Do you know, can you imagine what a 1 megaton hole is? Nobody, you don't realize, you don't know. Can you imagine a 20-story building? A 20-story building, say they hit Meadows Field with a 1 megaton bomb. That will create a hole 200 feet deep. That's a 20-story building 1 mile across. Maybe that's a big hole. Where does that dirt go? Into fallout. Where does it fall out? Arvin, Lamont, Edison, up here, what do you call it? Keene, Tehachapi? A hole of dirt 1 mile across and 20 stories deep is going to go up. And it's all going to be radioactive. And an hour later, it's going to begin to fall out over Tehachapi, Mojave, Barstow. And it'll go 400 miles, 300 to 400 miles, depending on how fast the wind blows. Generally, 24 hours later, most of the fallout has hit the ground. Most.
Let's just say that I'm in Russia and I'm one of these guys that's going to push the button, and we're going to get all this stuff in America, and all this stuff is going to go up in the air and it's going to move around. Some of that stuff, at least to me, is going to inevitably drop down on Russia too. And then I guess we come to the old thing about mutually assured self-destruction, or mutually assured...
mad doctrine.
Where, I mean, I can understand that there are people underground and prepared for a long time, but this is going to poison all the land in the Northern Hemisphere. Fear.
Sure. Why do you think the Lord said here, and I'll show you the scripture again, he said... Unless those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. You remember that?
Uh-huh. Well, everybody's overlooking something else.
In Matthew, the 24th chapter, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. Except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Now, the thing you've got to do is become one of the elect and live through it. It tells you in 2 Esdras chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16 that, boy, to pass away is a cloud, to die in this is terrible. You're more blessed. to live.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier some of the final signs of just before the bomb starts. Mm-hmm. Could you share with us what some of those very final signs are?
Electricity going out. How are you going to know that the electricity's even out?
If you're in bed.
Your lights go out. Yeah.
Electricity go back on again.
Oh, it'll take days.
Okay.
You'll see in my in one of my flyers, I can't remember now. There are 700 and I can't remember the number. I did all the research on it. All the major power plants, when they hit the United States, they'll hit like all the big dams, Hoover Dam or what we call Boulder Dam. They hit that. That knocks out the power of Las Vegas and a lot of Southern California, and it turns loose Lake Mead, which is backs up 100 miles or 150 miles, and all of that water rushing down the cane will take out Davis Dam and Parker Dam and flow on. I made a prophecy, it's been 11, 12 years ago, that the day would come that the Colorado River would flow unobstructed with no dams and no way to get across it, no bridge, no way to get across it, all the way from Colorado to the Gulf of California. There won't be no dams, no lakes, no reservoirs. And they will hit also here in California, like Folsom and the power projects that are up around Sacramento, and they'll hit the Grand Coulee up in Washington and around above Pasco and that.
Leland, my question evolves around your vision of the attack. You said that would happen when the nation sleeps or is at rest, and you have said that that would be at night. Could that also be, when I think of a nation asleep or at rest, could that also be a nation that is unaware? Are the people not alert? Or is it absolutely when it's blackout?
No, it's both, because you see the scriptures are written in esoteric language, so they have, the very same scripture has several meanings on different levels. On the level that you're speaking of, for example, the nation is asleep. Everybody is unaware. Nobody knows. They say, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destructions. You see? Everybody's asleep. That sense. But I can tell you from the visions I personally have seen of the streaks of light coming over the North Pole that it will be in the evening and at night. 8, 9, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. I've rationalized it out that it'll be 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, because I looked at that globe in the Orem Mall and I saw when it is daylight over in Moscow. You see? So that's just my own rational thinking. But I can tell you it'll come after sundown, after it's dark, and not in the daytime. It'll be at night. And so I interpret what Ezekiel says to them that are at rest as sleeping. That's my interpretation. But I know it'll come in the dark.
These cars with the computer chip, are these the newer cars?
Yeah, and I can't tell you what year, 73, 75, 78, 82, I don't know what year. Some of the older cars that had computer chips, they weren't refined enough that electromagnetic pulse would fry them. I can tell you, any car that you've got that's 2 or 3 years old, though, it's like they've made such great advances in calculators. Now they 10 years ago, they had a calculator that was this big with computer chips, and now they've refined it down to a calculator this big with computer chips, because those microcircuitries are so much smaller. Any car that's within the last 2 or 3 or 4 years has got such minute microcircuitry in it that electromagnetic pulse will fry that circuitry. The car will be fine, it just won't start and run. You see, it won't go anyplace. Can you imagine? You know what a cubic meter is? A meter is just about the same size as a yard. A cubic means not only square, but cubed. Okay, like this. If it was 3 feet this way, 3 feet this way, 3 feet this way, 50,000 volts per cubic meter. You see that? Handheld calculators, your typesetting machine calculators, everything. It'll fry those chips. The only thing, the way you can protect yourself is to put your calculators or, and I should can go out and show you, I've got my disks in the car that I set my flyers from, the little computer disks that they put into the computer and they kick them out, you know. I keep them wrapped in tinfoil. You can do that. You can protect your cars and your calculators and your electric typewriters, your television, your transistor radios and everything. Just wrap them in tinfoil. That's called the Faraday box. It was invented by a Frenchman. Pardon?
What part is it? You have to wrap the whole thing?
Well,
the whole car?
No, like, no. You would wrap the what you would call the distributor in your car, and I don't know, there are several other components on the dash. Wherever a computer chip is, you wrap that.
Same with the television. The computer chip.
You know, and it's pretty tough to put a television in a box. Now, I've got at home, I've got some metal garbage cans. Just, they're 30 or 35-gallon metal garbage cans, you know, with a garbage can lid. And I put my two-way radio and my little portable television set and my transistor radios and the electric typewriter and those things in different garbage cans. Take them out and use them in the daytime on whenever I want. But if I know now, I know that the attacks, in fact, they're out right now. I left home and I didn't put them in the garbage cans because I'm not worried about it until the 21st of December.
You're talking about regular foil?
Tin foil. All you have to do is encase it with metal, and that stops this 50,000 volts of per cubic meter of electromagnetic pulse can't get into it. Protects those chips. They've got chips so small now that you can put a full set of encyclopedias on the head of a pin. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's really microcircuitry.
A little while ago, Brent asked what would be some of the signs, additional signs before, but we didn't get an answer to Brent's question.
I'm glad.
Didn't.
In the beginning, you said something about that. You'd get to that. That there was a particular thing that we just had a sign here just a short time ago.
Yeah. Well, the one.
You said that sign happened. That.
Yeah. Just in the last couple of weeks, this happened here. Let me think now. Where is it? Yeah, I told you, I read to you chapter 18, the nation scattered and peeled, the people terrible from their beginnings hitherto, a nation is meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. So here, and I've got written in my Bible, the flood of 93. All ye inhabitants of the world. You see, we're getting close. There will be more and more signs given. You mentioned, one of you, probably the last thing that you will recognize will be the flash of light if you're out at 10, 11 o'clock at night. And it'll happen somewhere over Omaha, Nebraska, or Kansas City, Kansas, somewhere over the middle part of the continent. You take the whole United States. Take the whole United States, and it will be detonated somewhere in this area right here. I don't know exactly which. If they detonate, let me explain something. When a bomb goes off in the air or anything, it creates an arc. It goes down like that. The explosion, the overpressure, and everything goes down like that. If it's low to the ground, like say this is the surface of the ground, this table. If I detonated it here, the arc would go out, and maybe it would be 20 miles wide at the bottom. If I go up and detonated it here, the arc would go out because the angle doesn't change. The angle stays the same. but maybe it would be 40 miles wide at the bottom. If I detonated up here, the same angle, it would be 200 miles wide, you see? So if they detonated over the central part of the United States, if they detonated it 10 miles high, it would only wipe out things 10 or 15 miles on either side. If they get it 100 miles high, way up 100 miles high, it would detonate and wipe out things maybe for 1,000 miles. They get it up 200 miles high, and it will cover from the Atlantic to the Pacific.
Commander, you take care of that,
would
you?
Pardon?
50 miles. 50 miles. 50 miles. That's it.
Well.
I don't know, what are you talking about?
We'll explain later.
Sorry, I don't mind explaining. I don't want to.
I'm dumb, what's going on? Go ahead, talk.
Well, I don't know how to say it so that it's... It doesn't... I don't want it to seem... You see, the one speaking and the one sitting in the chair are two very, very different entities. And I repeat, I see from the other side of the veil. This is my secretary, my translator, if you will. Just as if I were speaking Russian and no one in the room speaks Russian, there must be a translator. And I speak on a radio circuit that could easily be picked up on your weather satellite, that band. And I have to both commend and caution you, Leland, because as you get completely involved in the nuclear aspect or the war aspect of the final days, it can eat away at you until you are trying to make sense out of everything as relates to that one subject. Now, we have written alone, Dorma and myself, this lady sitting next to you. What are we, two people? 77 journals, averaging well over 200 pages a journal. In less than, well, we're in July. In exactly 48 months. We put out a newspaper a week. And I believe the one that went out this last week is 80-some-odd pages. And she and I do almost all of it. This is called a physical impossibility. Therefore, I have to remind everyone that you have already created the miracle and the possibility out of that which is impossible. So it's not fair for Leland to be here telling us all about him and not knowing with whom he speaks. I don't want to spoil that because of what you in this room who work around the clock in this mission, the confirmation that you are getting from what he's saying. On the other hand, you have to look at the whole. And this is what happens when one only can really perceive the one scenario. And it isn't that you don't know the other things are coming, because you just read them, you just speak them, you just say, yes, you know, earthquakes, famines, everything that is happening all over your world, you can see it everywhere. But technology on your place has gotten so far out of control, and unless you catch up with what is going on, even with the elite one world, new world order in your own United States of America unless you can see those connections with every other part of the world, including that part that was the Soviet Union. You see, you still have PAMUs and Soyuz. You still have the Ukraine with nuclear weaponry. But you are also dealing with Russians, and not just Soviet Russians. And you're not taking into consideration the 13th tribe, which is a Khazarian tribe of the Mongol-Russian Nordic lineage, without God. And the reason that these ones would question you as to Jew is the word Jew was not even constructed until the late 1700s, which would be your 18th century. It was a convenient term.
That's true. I know when in the English language there was no word Jew until about 1740 or 1750.
But it also leaves us who are speaking about historical things with no language to use. If we use a word, idiot, that may have some connotation, but does it mean Jew to you? Does it mean the same thing to you as when I say Jew? Mm-hmm. So we are stuck, regardless of who we might be, what teachers we might be, what messengers we might be, no matter what we are stuck with having to communicate to you in terms that you can understand. It isn't that I don't speak with all of you, but very few can translate it. And you're not comfortable with it when you do, so you want to go check it out. Well, where are you going to go? You're going to go knock on Dorma's door and say, what does this mean? Well, she's going to say to you, I haven't any idea. Unless I tell her. So we have to go through the realization that unless you know what's the matter with this world and where it all went wrong, and how it went wrong, why it went wrong, and where you are, you cannot fix it. Now the facts are, you can't fix it anyway. But you cannot even repair it enough to make an impact, because you must remember that with God all things are possible. And if you limit God by saying, hey, this is going to happen regardless of what you do, that's BS. It only takes one of you with a kind of belief of a Christ to change it all. Every bit of it. Will you do it is something else. Now we're into probabilities versus possibilities. The probabilities are the way you're headed. Your own nation will do yourself in. It isn't just God and punishment, or punishment of self, or cleansing the continents, cleansing the world, bringing balance again. Mother Nature evolves. You are living on a living being. And it is no less important to God, Creator, than you are. You just happen to be the special creations given thought and reason and capability of using that free will choice. And you're going to experience in the life format of a physical dimension with freedom of choice to make those choices. And it will be according to your choices as to how that evolvement will be for you. Now you see, he's saying all of that. You have to listen very carefully. He is saying all of that. Two will be in the fields, one will be gone, one will be taken, one will be left in the blink of an eye. But when you get into the perceptions and the probabilities of what will happen, here is where we begin to deviate. Because Leland does not know what I even have told you about the technology that abounds even on your place. He would not know about the cosmospheres. He will not know about the moon bases. They know about them at Edwards, jolly well. He doesn't know about the shield that I have around this village. He probably does not know of the technology that easily handles a storm system, like sitting in your Midwest and flooding out your lands. And all it's going to take to just about wipe you out before winter, you're not going to have a crop down through your growing fields in those areas. Archer Daniel Midland has given away and sold away your grain reserves. Your government has done you in. Your government's in full coalition with both Yeltsin and Gorbachev. So our stories are not so divergent. Now, when we start talking about the demolition job to be done, remember, your enemy wants the property. With the beast, we're talking physical property. He doesn't look forward to a great journey with God in the chariots of the heavens. And what is hell? Is it brimstone and fire? No. Hell is darkness. Hell is the absence of God. Therefore, you're getting pretty close to it, living right on your plane. On the other hand, as long as you keep the light of God about you, you also pull in the shield of protection. So when they start coming at you, it isn't just going to be missiles. They have bombs placed strategically in every fault along the bottoms of your dams. They can detonate them from space with a pulse beam. They don't have to even introduce an army. But they already have a pretty good sized army just across into Mexico. Russia has already infiltrated and integrated their people, their military, their scientists, their KGB. I've told you, there are more KGB in your CIA than there are Americans. And they are all hooked up with British intelligence in the Mossad, right out of Israel. If you cannot bring all of these generalizations together, you're going to miss the point. Their point will not be to just destroy, because they want, and they want a place like the garden. But they don't want all the people. They have been working on a very, very clean cut protocol. And it doesn't differ much from the Committee of 300 and the New World Order. Take over the education, take over the health, take over everything. Brainwash, program, get hold of the media, get hold of the churches. So in that essence, it's done. It's over. You have forfeited your constitution. What are you going to do about it? There is still time for the ones that are left. What are you going to do between now and the day the bomb blows up? You can't just sit and wait, even if you're prepared. That is not what God is about.
works. Faith without works is nothing. Because if you have faith, you will show it by your works. And it will be toward the good of creation.